right, then we'll begin. Calling to order the Johnson County Healthcare Center Board of Directors meeting for May 25, 2022. We entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the April meeting.
I make a motion to approve the minutes from the April meeting. Okay.
Moved and seconded. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thanks, Tom. The minutes are approved. As a courtesy to our contractor, we'd like to present a stage two cost report. We'll move his report to the next item for business, and then he can get onto the golf course straight away.
Thank you.
No, I thought before I get into that, I might give a quick update on construction on 1A and 1B. Framing is basically about 90% complete. You know, this is the inpatient wing. Obviously, we haven't started on anything on the inside. But we're about 90% complete, and we plan on starting the exterior sheeting next week, so we'll start enclosing that. The plumbing and electrical rough-in has all been started, and the mechanical will start as soon as we get the roof roughed in, because once they start running the ductwork, we don't want moisture inside that ductwork, because then we have potential mold, which wouldn't be good. So until we get the roofing material, we're kind of at a, you know, for them to start, you know. So the roofing material, it's basically scheduled to be here the middle of June. But a month and a half ago, or 2 months ago, we got a update from the supplier, and we're holding our breath on that date. Loden is the roofer, and he's been getting material in, but not all material showing up at the same time. So we're hoping that he gets it, but he's not guaranteeing anything at this point in time. And I stay in contact with him weekly, and as of Monday when I talked to him, it's still scheduled to show up, so we're all holding our breath that it does show up. And the minute it does show up, he will start drying it in. So then once that happens, then we'll be able to get Powder River in doing the ductwork. So with that said, as long as that shows up when it does, we should be sheetrocking towards the end of July, you know, the inpatient wing. The goal is to have it completed and then go into the nursing station and possibly the nursery and the assisted daily living area. And that, we've had discussions with the hospital possibly getting in those areas sooner, but we're not going to do that until we know that our doors, cabinets are on ground, because we don't want to tear that up, because those are important places for the hospital to do business, so we don't want to have them tore up and then we can't finish them. So we've had discussions about making sure we have all the material on site so we can get in and get out without there's going to be delays for the hospital doing their daily activities, but we want to get in and out as quick as possible. So as soon as we have confirmation and all that stuff, we're going to definitely jump on that. One lead time item is doors. They're scheduled to be here at the end of September. So hardware is going to be here in the middle of July, though no doors to put them in. So with that, about a month and a half ago, we brought up the fact that with the long lead time items being the roof, which is very critical, and the mechanical units, we decided to go ahead and price those two items out for the clinical and PT. Just to give you an idea on the roof material, even though this project 1A and 1B wasn't approved until the end of January, Loden already ordered the membrane for that because it's something that he uses all the time. But we were hopeful that the project would go ahead, so he ordered it in December. And that's what we're waiting to show up in the middle of June. So we decided to go ahead, and once the PT and clinical, those two phases got their design far enough to go ahead and get pricing for that material, and with the board's blessing to get that ordered, along with the two mechanical units for the clinical and PT. And another reason for the mechanical units is the plans got completed far enough to where we priced it out about a week and a half ago, so we did our pricing, but they're only holding the prices for 3 weeks, and then it's going up, you know. And the lead time for that is 22 to 24 months, which...
Weeks.
Or excuse me,
I was like, hopefully not much.
24 weeks. And so with phase two, we were hoping to start in August, so we'd be needing those items sooner than later. So that's why I proposed to get those items ordered ahead of time. And I've got the paperwork with the backing, the backup for them. Don't have enough copies for everybody, but... So basically, for the roofing and the two mechanical units, it amounts to $298,178 for those two items. Now, when I did this budget number a year and a half ago, believe it was, it still falls in line with what we budgeted back then. So it all falls in line with that. So, but what we'd like to recommend is go ahead and get those two items ordered so it fits our schedule for that phase two.
I don't see any reason why we wouldn't want to.
We need a motion. Mm-hmm. I'll need a motion to get those two items ordered.
Thank you.
Second.
Yeah, it's different out there right now. Mm-hmm. And but you know, and we talked about that and on phase one and A, the curb and mechanical unit for the inpatient room, we were all worried about that. Well, the curb showed up 2 months early. It's been sitting out by the helicopter pad. So but we're still waiting on the mechanical unit. So, you know, some things, there's just no rhyme or reason what's coming in early and what's not coming in early. Just like the roofing product. You know, we're hopeful that everything comes in because Eric has indicated that some jobs that he has right now, he's waiting on screws to do the job. So, like I say, there's nobody knows what's going to come up short or not make it. You know, and that's why we went ahead and did this, so I will let the subs know tomorrow morning to go ahead and proceed with these two items.
So, Tom, we've got three pages that just basically detail that cost for the air handlers, $156,000, and the roofing and materials, $141,000. Do you have any questions about that?
No, I don't. I'm good with it.
Okay. So there's been a motion and a second. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? So that approval's been passed. And are there other... Do you think the trend for supply chain delays is getting better or worse? Or is it just...
Some items are getting better, but yeah. Others... You know, like the door issue, that was there before, you know, before this all came about. So that wasn't really an issue. It's been that way for the last 2-3 years on the doors. So, you know, just right now what we're more up against is pricing, you know, holding the prices. You know, so the quicker we get things ordered, the better off.
Yeah.
You know, and one other update on phase one and A, 1A and 1B, we've had three PRs come up with some changes that were requested by the hospital, and with those three changes, there was a big deduct on changing some of the finishes. You know, so it was a deduct of $37,000, and there was a couple added minor things, electrical and that, switching, because once the state got their review done, they requested a couple items. So you're going to have a, I'm thinking between $20,000 and $25,000 going back into the project right now. And we haven't had to get into any of the contingency that we had for phase 1A and B, so which is good.
What about labor? Are you having trouble finding hands to get work done?
Big time. Yep. And with the material showing up when it does, it's not affecting us right now because we're able to keep up and keep ahead. You know, and when I did the schedule for that project, I knew this was going to be coming, the delays on material and that. So I built it into the project. The project is a 6 to 8 month project. And I built in a couple of extra months for these issues. And so right now we're ahead, but you know, it still could, that could get ate up if something doesn't show up on me when the suppliers tell us. You know, that's the issue we're up against. Sometimes it feels like all I do is lie, you know, because we get our information from the suppliers. We get it from the suppliers and we relay it to the owner. And then boom, you know. But
you must be getting good at it by now.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes, you know, because it's not like it was in the old days when somebody told you something, it happened, you know. Where now it's not the case. But and I still haven't. Nobody's told me an answer why, you know. Why is it, you know? So we just don't know, you know. So. But, anybody else got any questions on phase 1A and 1B or this? We're still on schedule for phase 2 to get the plans done end of June and pricing in July to start August. So, and that's still in line.
Well, that's mostly good news. I think we're in a pretty good place. And it's exciting to see that coming around. All right, well, thanks for coming in and
okay.
Enjoy the rest of the evening.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Well, the next item is a brief training video, which is something that was presented by the Wyoming Hospital Association. It was kind of a commercial at the meeting that Luke and I attended. It's about a 15 to 20 minute exercise produced by a company out of San Diego called iPro.
Protein.
I don't know how to pronounce the name of the company. but this is a free product that's available through September, and then they want to start making money on it. And I've probably done about 8 or 10 modules, which amounted to about 3 hours altogether. There's some basic sort of board governance roles and responsibilities, and then there are other things. If you're interested, you can kind of shop through the menu items and look at things like technology or different community issues, but we thought it would be good to take a little bit of time and review one. It's not very difficult. You'll log on, you have to answer some questions, then there's a brief video and then you test out and get credit for it. If you want to...
Yeah, I think the only other thing I would really add is, so we have, going into this election, we have 3 board members that are up for election, so the ability for having like a general concept of what governance is, what the role of the board is, when we have that kind of turnover, and I'm not saying that's all going to turn over, but you never know when things are with an elected board. And so having tools like this that have kind of a board onboarding track to really kind of set the platform. And so we thought, since we get it for free now, it's worth trying to do a push the next couple of months to dig into the material and see what we think of it and whether or not it's worth investing moving forward. And one of the things, there's a couple board members that were there and kind of presented or talked that have gone through a lot of the education, and they said it really shortened their board meetings because when there was topics coming up that they were going to be discussing, they'd all watch a video. So then everyone kind of came with a like mindset. So the amount of education that had to go into the discussion really came down from, and so it really shortened the board meeting. So some of that's part of the goal, is if everyone kind of comes to the meetings on the same page and has that same level of education using subject matter experts, that hopefully it helps us make the best decision for the organization and allows us to be a more sustainable organization moving forward.
Tom, this may be less fulfilling for you. Have you gone through any of these?
So you might still be able to hear it. Some.
All right. Well, let's roll it and see if it's any good. Still working on the audio.
You of what are the board's future duties and what are their core responsibilities? There are some key stakeholders who are going to be looking at whether or not the board of a hospital is doing what it already does. In particular, those include the state attorney general, the IRS, bonding agencies, the broader community. And they are going to make sure that the board is doing three things. Number one, that the board is overseeing appropriately the community's assets. Number two, that the board is actually providing objective oversight of management. And number three, to make sure that the mission of the organization and its strategic plan and its goals are all accomplished. So let's talk about the role of the board from a legal perspective. And before I dive into the details, I want to provide a caveat that what I'm going to be describing is the fiduciary duties of a not-for-profit 501c3 standalone board. If your hospital is part of a system, or if you're a public entity, you'll want to go ahead and get some additional counsel from your attorney to make sure that you understand some of the nuances that would apply to your organization. Stakeholders are going to be looking for a board to perform its fiduciary duties. What are those fiduciary duties? Well, the first one is what we refer to as the fiduciary duty of oversight. And oversight, as you might guess, is a broad concept, and it has to mean that the board has to make sure that it is setting the mission and strategy and the goals, and then holding management accountable for achievement of the strategy and achieving goals. So under the overarching fiduciary duty of oversight are three other fiduciary duties that the fiduciary duty to care, loyalty, and obedience. And I'll go through them now so you have a little bit better understanding of what they mean. So the fiduciary duty of care is one in which you're expected to go ahead and get all the information that's required and analyze it in a prudent way and before making the decision. So I liken this to, if you wanted to buy a car, you would go and look at consumer reports and other kinds of data and research and figure out what are the pros and cons of various options. And then after you've done that research and that thinking, you'd make a decision that was prudent and that was a wise use of assets. The second fiduciary duty is one of obedience. And that refers to being obedient to the mission of the organization as it's articulated in the Articles of Incorporation. So literally, when any organization goes to the state and says you want to be incorporated, you have to describe what it is that you're going to be doing as a corporation. And so what's embedded in those articles of incorporation is, as your purpose, is what the mission is. And boards are expected to make sure that the organization on form actually pays attention to and achieves that mission. The third fiduciary duty is the fiduciary duty of loyalty. And this is the one that often causes a lot of problems for people because there's a lot embedded in this particular fiduciary duty. It says that you need to make sure that what you're doing as a board member is to benefit the organization only and not you personally. And so there are a number of things that you need to do as a board member. One of them is to make sure that you're keeping information confidential second is that you're not competing with the organization. And the third is the decisions of the board are made in an objective manner, in a way that doesn't imply that anything would be coming directly back to you as an individual benefit. Let me be a little more precise about how the fiduciary duty of loyalty can often go sideways. Unfortunately, sometimes people who serve on board also have other roles. For instance, a physician may be serving on the board because they've been elected to the board by the medical staff. And that can create some problems because that individual may be a little confused about to whom they owe their fiduciary duty of loyalty. They may think they owe their fiduciary duty of loyalty to the medical staff that elected them, but the law says they owe their fiduciary duty to the mission of the organization. So a decision and a board member has to be made legally. You're held accountable for whether or not you're making that decision based on what's best for the organization versus what's best for any particular stakeholder group. Another area in which the fiduciary duty of loyalty can become problematic is that state attorneys general and other regulators and legislators want to make sure that a board is making decisions that are based on things that are good use of the community's assets. And they want that board to be totally objective as they're making the decision. So that's why every year, when I'm serving on a not-for-profit board, and probably a for-profit board too, need to fill out a disclosure form to disclose what potential conflicts of interest might you have, and ideally potential conflicts of interest. Because then as the year goes on, the board chair, for instance, can look at your disclosure form and help you figure out certain topics that coming up on the board agenda about which you might have a conflict. You can then have a conversation about whether you ought to participate in the conversation, but not using the board voting, or if in fact you should just go and excuse yourself from both the discussion and the vote. There's one more concept related to the fiduciary duty of loyalty and the whole issue around conflict of interest, and that's whether or not a particular director is independent or not. And the definition that we're using here is not the one that in a corporate board we look at, where if you're on the publicly traded corporation board, you're called an independent director, meaning that you're not on staff, that you're not management. This is a different definition of independent. This definition of independent comes from the IRS, and they are looking particularly for 501c3 organizations to make sure that a certain percentage of the board is independent. In other words, some of the things they need to determine that would be, are you employed by the organization? Do you do any more than $10,000 in business with the organization in a given tax year? Are you involved in any sort of loans or anything that would be reported on Schedule L or your tax return? And you fill out the form 990. Are the board members independent enough? Many are at least 51% of them independent, according to those and other definitions. That then gives people a better sense of your being able to make objective decisions. Sometimes it's boring to talk about fiduciary duty. Board members don't really understand how they can apply to them and really what they mean in terms of their actual service on the board. So I'm going to give you a quick example of how these three fiduciary duties interact. There was an organization called MEAT, Manhattan Peter I. Lindsay Stroke Hospital in New York, and they had a board that was really struggling because they had found out that the MEAT organization's finances were getting worse and worse and worse. So the board decided to go ahead and explore options. As I understand it, they did a lot of research, a good job with the fiduciary duty of care, looking at a variety of options. And you won't be surprised to learn they decided that it would be a good idea to go ahead and sell the property because they were in Manhattan and very delicate property. And they wanted to then use the money to provide help to people in the community. And so they did their research, they came up with some decisions about which organization to sell the land to, and then someone said, wait a minute, don't we need the state attorney general's permission to do this? And so the attorney said, yes, you do. They went to the state attorney general, who happened to be Elliot Spitzer, and Elliot Spitzer said, no, you can't just do that. And the reason that Elliot said that is because the fiduciary duty of obedience was not followed. Remember, in the Arthur Corporation, that particular hospital was supposed to be an eye, ear, nose, and throat hospital, not a community-friendly organization. And so Elliot Sketcher said, no, you can't just sell your land to a real estate developer. You have to figure out a way to keep the organization open, which is ultimately what the board did find, did another buyer who would be able to finance the hospital in the UK.
For the most part, they do a pretty good job of trying to keep the information short and relevant, pack a lot of information in a pretty professional way. All the ones I've kind of gone through have been pretty similar to that, with a lot of really kind of good information that don't make you sit around and kind of dig through it for a long period of time. So I think over what we'll probably try to do is, and have you guys, I know Dr. Shuler's been on, have you guys had a chance to get on? So I think what we'll try to do over the next couple of months is just maybe even reschedule the videos that we've had on the agenda in the past, and then just create some time in the, at the start of the agenda, so just to kind of talk through some of those things and just really get a feel for whether or not it's something worth investing in the future, or what that looks like for us.
There's a figure quoted by the developer or owner, might have been the founder. He said about $7,500 a year to maintain a subscription, which seems a little excessive for what our needs are. I don't know if that's in line with what other options are. If you went to a meeting or had to take time off, it runs into other costs too.
Might be, and I think it probably depends on longevity of the board, right? And that the board's kind of education and familiarity with some of that stuff, so on whether or not that investment's actually worth it or not. So,
well, at least the minutes will show we've addressed the item of board education for the current time. I guess in terms of the Chief of Staff report, there have been many interviews for providers in the clinic. We're also looking at another individual in the emergency room. Melissa, do you want to address that at all? I know you've been involved.
So we are planning on, have you made an offer yet?
I have calls scheduled, but have not talked to anyone.
We have, we are going to make an offer for a full-time PA. So hopefully he will take that position, and I believe we're going to offer the PRN position as well. We spoke to a gentleman out of North Dakota regarding the ER position. He is a PA, but his experience is relevant, and I think we might be bringing him out here for a site visit.
The clinic's been a little busier, and we're moving into vacation season and tourist season, so maybe some scheduling challenges. Overall, I think we're fortunate to have a fairly ample and diverse staff to handle that. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a setback with some COVID in the community and the nursing home being restricted somewhat. I'll let you address that some more, but no significant medical staff issues that I'm aware of. I know there is a
letter of intent being signed to address the vacancy when Dr. Gonzalez retires, and that's a little over a year away, but that could be a year before you know it. So we've got a resident who's finishing now doing a sports fellowship year, and then very interested in coming to Buffalo, and I think he's already signed a letter of intent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's coming back for the 4th of July. He's bringing his family and in-laws, I think, are all meeting, and they I think got an Airbnb between here and Sheridan, so they're going to spend about a week up here, kind of between celebrating his graduation before he starts his fellowship, and I'm hoping to get a contract signed with them during that time period. So
he's done some work with us. Seems like a very personable, bright individual, and I think it went well while he was here, so that was encouraging. Lori, would you like to start the leadership report?
Oh, I don't have anything to say. Other than they've increased the number of falls because, if you look, when you look at that report, because the home health, some of their patients, some of them just keep falling. I don't know what you do about it. I mean, nobody's there every minute of the day to take care of them. For some reason, they're falling a lot more. I mean, they do education with them every time. When they, after they find out about it, they give them education on what they can do to prevent it and what you need to do. But a lot of times it's the same education over and over again for the patient and the family, for the caregivers, whoever there is. So that's really the only thing I would say.
Miranda, I guess you're the clinic lady today.
Perfect. I don't have anything really in addition to the report that you guys should have. Unless you guys have any questions for me.
A new nurse for Dr. Darnell.
We have a new nurse for Dr. Darnell. She's been here for a week, and then we have another one that started today orienting, and then we'll hit the ground running tomorrow with us. So we're fully staffed.
That's a big smile.
Yeah.
Any questions for Lori or Miranda? Brenda, how big is your smile today?
Well, as you said, the community is red now, and it feels so unnatural to go backwards with what we've been doing. And I think what we've learned is we can't keep the residents from going in the community. We can ask them to wear masks, but we certainly can't ask everybody in the community to wear a mask when they're around them. All we can do in-house is the staff never stop wearing masks, so it won't be a change for them that the residents will be asked to wear them again and to be more mindful of the distancing. I don't know. I guess all we can do is wait and see where it goes from here. But I was really getting to the point where things have been going so well. I was really hoping that we'd be making some positive changes for the staff. We did have our CNA instructor did reach out to the school nurse and offer any support if we could help get a program going there. And the thing I'm most excited about this afternoon, we had a somebody wander in and ask if we hire LPNs, and she's finishing her first year of school, and I just dropped everything and grabbed her by the hair, and I had done an interview and just had some background check before I said, you know, I realized I never did the official thing of saying I offer you a job, you accept. Thank goodness she will. So hopefully, and she likes long-term care. She plans on finishing school and will is working on her bachelor's at the same time, but wants to stay in long-term care.
Good to hear.
Yes, it is.
Well, questions for Brenda?
So our census are at 33 due to staffing.
Yes. Absolutely. The only reason. Yep.
Mary, you've had some good news.
Yeah, I'm fully staffed for the first time in 100 years. A long time, anyway, and actually there's another nurse out there that I was going to give to Brenda, but didn't. Worked here before and wants to come back, so
if an RN wanders in tomorrow, I will.
Exactly. So she lives here and is working in church. So, but I don't have anything to add to mine either.
So what do you guys think is happening?
I have no idea. These all one lives in Sundance and one at a small hospital experience. She went to school in Rapid City and they offered her a job and she won't. I don't know why she picked up low. The other two are from KC and we're working in Riverton, so this is a much nicer choice. No offense, Riverton.
I didn't get a name.
Well, we're very fortunate we're not dealing with what Riverton's dealing with.
On a daily basis.
And having new nurses who are early in their career is an asset because the average age of a nurse is 51 or 52, so that's very fortunate.
And we're lucky we're not Rollins where they lost their child care. I mean, OB delivery.
Who is the other one? Rollins?
Rollins and Kemmer. Places in the middle of nowhere. I mean, hard to go there. Yeah, so.
Well, that's encouraging. Now your turn, Luke. Try not to screw it up.
All right. Well, I'll brag on Brenda. So Amy Holt got their second consecutive five-star rating, and I think that needs to be praised and celebrated. So it's 2 years in a row they've received that. So we have a lot of really positive things, and it's, you don't always get recognized when you have a lot of good things going on, but it's nice when it does happen. So her team has been tremendous in my time here and working. I think they've been short-staffed since, September of last year.
Yeah.
And sometimes extremely severely short-staffed, and the team has continued to do amazing things and provide exceptional care. And so.
Good job.
And then Julia, with their cardiac rehab program, won an Above the Lines Outcome of Excellence Award for cardiac rehab. She's a part of, Wyoming doesn't have this association, but Montana does, so she participates on even their board and is a part of that organization, and she won the award. I think it's a regional award for multiple states, but so a lot of exciting things going on. I think we talked about it at the last board meeting, but we did celebrate Hospital Week and had a lot of really fun things go on here through the week with Crazy Hair Day and Funky Socks and different things like that. And we had a barbecue for staff, and I think it was a scavenger hunt. And I think it was just kind of a fun way for people to kind of get out, interact with each other in ways we haven't done for a while. And it seemed like there was a lot of joy. And so we also put up I can't remember what we're calling that board, but there's a board, a recognition board that we put up in the hallway and that we're going to end up just leaving up because it's really a great opportunity for our staff to recognize each other when they're seeing, you know, acts of kindness or they step up for each other. And I think that level of just encouragement is something that's good for us to continue on past that week. We talked a while back about an issue that took place in Amy Holt, and because of that, we're going to invest in some additional security cameras throughout the facility. Currently, our cameras are view only, but they don't record, and so we're not actually able to go back and see what takes place or, you know, can review any of the footage for stuff that's happened. So we actually were pretty pleasantly surprised with what we got back for quotes and decided just to move forward. But we're going to go from, what do we have, like four or five cameras now? And we'll.
I'm not sure we got four. I think it's three.
Three. So we'll significantly expand that capacity. I can't remember the amount. We're adding 12?
Yeah.
Something like that. Cameras. So
more like 15 or 16.
It might be. Yeah. So we'll have coverage over the parking lot, the exterior of the building, over pharmacy in both areas and or both buildings, and so OB. And so a lot more expanded coverage. So this is kind of one of the first steps, but we had an incident where our ER provider last night had to restrain a titled patient in the emergency room. And so we have things that happen in our building. I think it's important that we provide our staff the security that they need to be safe when they're here. And so part of what we're moving towards with the remodel is getting badge access doors. And I want to also then go back and implement that back through other parts of the building, especially the emergency room. And I mean, there's times at night when you're in here and we have, there's potentially, you know, three or four women in the building, all under 150 pounds, and there's not a whole lot of resistance if somebody wants to come in with ill will. So providing them some security so they can get behind a safe barrier and things like that, I think it's really important for what we're doing to protect our staff. So so all the new addition is getting that badge security stuff added to it, and we're working on getting quotes to come back and retrofit. And all that stuff now, the technology is advanced so far, it can be all done through like Wi-Fi. And so it actually, like, every day would load, if we delete somebody out of the system, that would like update annually, but it doesn't have to be hardwired in like it used to be. So it should be pretty easy for us to just go add that technology onto the door itself and not have to spend a lot of time, you know, running electrical wires or low voltage wires throughout the building. So another thing that we were approached by HUB with our directors and officers insurance renewal this year. They offer, or they have an agreement with a company called Guardian HR that does human resource assessments on policies and procedures and employee handbooks. And so it was $1,000 for them to come in and do that assessment, as well as give us access to an HR manager and a labor attorney for the entire year. So I thought that was pretty reasonable. So we ended up moving forward with that and are currently underway for them reviewing our handbook and are doing the full assessment. So it should take, each one of them is about an 8-week assessment, so it might take a little longer with them doing both of them for us at this time, but we'll keep you guys informed as we get more information back. We're hoping that it kind of gives us a roadmap for things we need to address and things we didn't know we needed to address, and so I think it'll be a really good process for us.
Are they affiliated with the insurer that we get that coverage through?
They have some kind of a relationship with them. I don't think they're the same company, but I think they're a vendor that HUB has an agreement with. So, we had an assessment done on the employee retirement RFPs that we got, and so that committee still needs to get together and meet. So hopefully in the next week or two, we can get together and meet on that. I think it was pretty comprehensive. At least it did a really good job of comparing apples to apples, which was hard for us to do internally when we were talking through it. I think we're getting a lot closer there. When we sent the request out, it was always with the intent of making the decision at the next board meeting and then rolling a new plan out in early this fall. So, and then Sean gave a construction update, and Melissa did the provider recruitment update. So that's all I have.
Any questions for Luke?
Are our board members are going off? Is that all happening in August?
I don't know what.
Well, filing has to be in August. You know.
They won't go off till November.
Yeah.
Because some of it has to be filed by last Friday.
This Friday.
But not the
federal board.
Is everybody running again?
Tom Berry is not running again.
And it's you and
me and... Are you up there?
No.
And Tom Cole. What do you got, Tom?
You don't have to tell me. I was just curious. I thought because everything was up this... that you had to...
I didn't even know about it. My last year...
Yep.
No, it's not. You're going to run for another four.
Yeah.
What? What do you mean?
But Tom, our schedules are so busy. That's why I was trying to get coffee with you a while back, and our schedules never linked. So.
Sorry, glad I brought it up.
Yeah.
Well, I know Mary would make cookies for you if you ran again.
I will, please.
What else?
No, whatever you want.
I'm drivable.
I'll make brownies.
I like it. I'll come over for
we'll
dinner.
We'll keep meetings shorter. How's that? Let's do it. Are you back next week, Tom?
Yeah, I will be back next week.
Okay, I'll shoot you a text. We can find a time.
All right, let's do it.
So are you still making
decisions? Oh, I'm probably going to. My kids are trying to.
It's only one
thing.
I enjoy it.
One thing I think, I don't know if we just, and we can put it on as an agenda item when we have more members here, but we had some conversation over this last month about potentially moving our foundation meeting to a lunch, because that meeting's, since I've been here, has been 30 minutes or less easily, and then would give us the ability to move this meeting up potentially to 5:30 or 6, and get everybody home earlier than that. So with the foundation moving quarterly, so that's something we can discuss when we have more members here, maybe even the new board members later this fall, but I think there's potential to be flexible with that as well. So.
Well, I know we have a lot to talk about regarding budget, and are we ready for the PowerPoint, or are we looking at the...
No, I have it. I have everything on here. Did I give you a copy?
There was an email, but I didn't get a paper copy, but that's okay.
Here's one.
Okay,
I'll just run through the schedule and the assumptions quickly. So there's a little bit of changes on the schedule, which we were also planning on talking about tonight too. So right now we're looking at preliminary budget. We would need to approve the price increase for nursing homes and the elevator jobs tonight. The changes we're talking about is bumping the final approval to the June meeting instead of having to have an early July meeting.
It would be June meeting.
The 29th. It would be a normal meeting unless the schedule changes. That's just what we're looking at. I looked at the statute after it was questioning the July meeting, and it says that it has to be done before whatever day that is in July, but it says nothing about being able to do it sooner. So we got in and it would be done by the 17th.
I've never actually completed a budget with more than like 9 months of actual data. And so normally it has like forecasted 3 months out of what we're anticipating that year to be. And so I think last year when you guys did the approval in July, Becky was racing to get that all done in time so you guys could have 12 months of actual in there, which, you could say there's some validity to it, but when you look at forecasting out 12 months, that 1 month doesn't really move the needle enough to go through that much effort or that much of a rush. So I would almost argue that rushing through the budget at the end probably eliminates accuracy, doesn't add accuracy to it.
This whole thing has changed several times over the last 4 years, so I like the sound of this much better after what it's done the last 2 years. It would be easier and ready for you guys.
Well, if we're not breaking the law, it doesn't sound like a problem. So, planning on regular meetings the end of June on Wednesday, the end of July on Wednesday, but finalizing or approving the budget
the end of June. Would we need a motion for that? Probably not.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Tom, do you have any concerns?
No. You're talking about the timing?
Right. Yeah.
No.
I will not be here for the meeting. You probably won't be here for the July meeting.
I shouldn't be there. I haven't started till later. So I'm here for July.
July is also when they're planning on having all the pricing and stuff, so having that meeting later is going to be at least necessary. So if we would have to do an early meeting for budget, we'd have to do a second meeting to get construction moving. So that two-week period or whatever wouldn't be enough time, I don't think, for them to get everything back. So.
Okay. Or the assumptions, I've been working on this today, so there's more information here than what you guys are used to. I do have it budgeted for a 5% price increase across all service lines. The proposed nursing home rate would go from 297 to 312. That rate would be effective August 1st. As far as volume goes, we're expecting the hospital volume to increase a little bit in radiology, PT, and OT specifically. Nursing home, I am budgeting for census of 33, and we're hoping that that will change, but that's, again, staffing issue, as she said before.
Why are you expecting those increases in those amounts?
Radiology is already seeing an increase from last week also, and PT and OT is because of Inspire and the contract with them that we started.
Contract with who?
Inspire.
Okay.
Our new Medicare rates are listed on there. It is decreasing. We've been working on deductions quite a bit for the last couple of weeks. We did run the numbers through the cost report model to see what it would do. We do have increased expenses. With those increased expenses, the cost report is picking that up, and then we should see our rates follow with that, and our rates would eventually increase again.
Yeah, so we used the historical data for this year. So our contractuals have been extremely high, which we just wrote an $800,000 check to Medicare because of our overpayment, because of our volumes. In the budget this year, so we started off by budgeting at using 2022 actual numbers to come up with our contractual amount. And then to figure out with the increased costs and some of the changes in the budget, we ran it back through the cost report, which is what really drove that increase in deductions we've been seeing all year. And it actually is raising our rates with the increased cost. And so when we get to the income statement, you can really see there's a they seem almost flat for what we're expecting for increase in revenue, but it's truly due to what we're planning Medicare picking up from the increased cost. And we had we're probably on the phone with Mark Lyons for 2.5 hours yesterday, and I think we're in a pretty good spot. It took a little bit of time to kind of get there with the cost report model, but.
Did anybody understand what he just said?
I had a conversation last time that our reimbursement rates are going to come down, and I didn't check, so the deductions are going to change. Something like that.
It's probably easier. If you look at the income statement, it's easier to kind of explain. But
I do have wages estimated with a 3% increase instead of a 2% increase. Supplies and utilities have increased by the 3% that we've
historically as well. Has it been more than that? Or
course with what his life is. We were just finding out that today.
That might be something that we tweak for next month's approval. Mm-hmm. So, we, in Alliance, or historically have used, there's like a inflation index that the government puts out, and so we've used that to actually determine what to expect. And I think there's monthly reports that come out with that, so we'll probably end up pulling that and then increasing that.
As we're looking at making the changes to the retirement plan, we did increase that pension contribution.
What was the start of the year?
We went to 4 with budgeting for people to be eligible after 12 months. So currently it's 3 and you're not eligible for the first 3 years. And so I'm assuming that we haven't determined the plan structure and stuff like that. So some of this is guessing, but there'll be vesting schedules, whether it's 5-year vesting and things like that, that are associated with that. So, if somebody's only here for 2 years, they're not taking all of that contribution with them when they leave. But it's kind of somewhat, some of that's a little bit hard to know how to budget that year one. Years in the plan provide more accuracy to that.
The foundation contribution is the same, and then the mill levy is very low estimate. They didn't even have a number for me to guess off of, so I've just increased it. Do you remember what I increased it
by? I think it's like 3%.
Was it 3 or did I do 5? That's it. I think it was 3. I don't know. It's a very small percentage is what I increased it by. I think that's a rough estimate. That one will increase.
3 is our max that we can take, right?
Yes.
3 million?
Yes. Income statement. So I've got actual as of the end of April, and then I forecasted that out, and then I have the budget line over here. So again, revenue was increased by 5%. The care center is lower because we are budgeting off of lower census.
This, in my confusing rant, this is the part that I was talking about here with this, is we're expecting an increase in $2.5 million in revenue, but we're budgeting flat here because of the impact that we're expecting the cost support to have. So it hurt us this last year, but we're expecting to receive some benefits from it moving forward this next year.
Salaries and wages, that is the 3% increase built in there. We've made some adjustments on how things are handled on GL lines, so that's switched some of where these numbers are falling. On the fringe benefit line, that one looks like it's a large increase. But I've moved this line, so like Luke and I were talking about this today too. If you look here at where it was budgeted with those two lines, it's not as far off when you look at this number here for budget now, because of how things have switched and we're accurately accounting for health insurance expense. And then the pension increase is also built into that line. Yes.
So historically, we haven't shifted the hospital's portion of the insurance premiums. And so I don't know how long it's been the same. We didn't do a ton of research, but it's been the same for a long time. And so I think this last year we were actually underfunded for expected and way under if you look at max. And so we've changed how we're accounting for it, and we've also changed the dollar amount we're accounting for each employee. So I think historically we were like, for a family plan, the hospital was contributing like $660 on the income statement. But then last year we were budgeting $630, $1,000 over here because we were expecting to pay that much more in cost for claims history. And so we were budgeting for it in a way, but it wasn't in a normal, natural way that you would account for it. So so we've shifted that to just clean that whole process up. So that weird gain loss for health insurance, we won't be seeing that in the income statement. Well, we'll probably even drop that off the income statement after we get the new fiscal year started because it won't have any relevance for us anymore.
The next line, so physician fees also looks like it's increased more than it really is. What I'm doing there is allocating ER physician salary where it's supposed to be, so it rolls into the cost report correctly as well. So that's showing an increase there, but that's part of how we're accounting for things and correcting things. Professional fees has a significant jump, but that is due to the pass-through costs for Inspire for PT and OT.
And that's also why with our, I saw Alicia, you had a crazy look with our salary because that line is almost flat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of those salaries have shifted because people have chosen to go work for Inspire. And so, yeah. And so that's the reason we had a drop off there, which almost made it look like it was flat, but it just shifted to a different spot.
Really, the only other line that was significant that I was going to call out was depreciation. We did go ahead and add an estimate for the inpatient addition to go into service the end of next year, so that will increase our depreciation on that line. That's also a rough estimate, but there's at least something in there to show that taking place. I think that's all of them that I really have to call out unless there's other questions on any of in your statement. That puts us at a $156,000 gain for the year.
And are we forecasting?
I was curious, like supplies, which is a huge expense for us, I noticed it's almost the same as it was in the actual last year. Not far off, but I'm just curious. We're
seeing an increase due to inflation in our supplies because there's something else in our area. It doesn't appear like we're accounting for any inflation. We're not seeing inflation for stuff. No, I think we are, and that's the line, Tom, that we're really going to look at and probably have an adjustment to that for the final approval next month. We're definitely seeing the inflation there, so we need to look at that closer.
And then depreciation, I was just curious, you kind of answered my question, was if you were bringing anything from construction work in progress or assets, you might start appreciating them. And it sounds like it's all right near the end of last year, or next year, you might be ready to do some of that stuff.
Yes, that's correct.
And then just the capital expenditure. It's in the budget here, so we'll probably get to it next, but so maybe I'm just curious about how you all plan to go and so forth.
Yeah, I will touch on that one next.
Okay.
Dr. Schiller, did you have another question too?
Well, just it looked like the forecast was for about a $600,000 net gain end of this year, but that I'm used to seeing a somewhat negative number, and I'm not sure how we're explaining that. I know we're losing money due to our low census of Amy Holt for one thing.
That isn't say that hasn't been as bad as I was expecting it to be for having such a low census.
I think so. Some of that we have pass-through cost on the cost report. Amy Holt's always a magnifier from a cost report standpoint. So there's offset to the loss in revenue with less expense for food and salaries and things like that that are associated with having a lower census there. So there's some of that. And I think when Becky and I actually earlier this week were looking back at historical years, and since Mark came on to help with the cost report, we've really seen a huge shift in ending on positive numbers. So so some of that, we still have some COVID funds and some of that grant funds, so we have additional support that's rolling through for this year. That's not budgeted for, what we're anticipating for next year. But
do you put some of that helps. Last year's numbers to budget for next year with the COVID that you
I mean, that's the hard part, is figuring out how far back you go, because it's hard. Going back too far obviously loses validity, and then going back the last 2 years have lots of fluctuations. So I would say at this point it's a very educated guess. But I think you can always say that about the budget. There's just way more variability that's hard to know how to counteract. So,
more questions?
No.
Okay. We can look at capital items. So, Tom, this process works by each department submitting their capital request, and then I put those together and I take them to capital committee to go through them and figure out exactly what we're going to add to the list, and if something needs to be pushed back next year or the year after that. I've got that schedule built out, so I have multiple years with different items coming up. So these are the ones that are what everyone is telling me is necessary for this year, which is actually, it's fairly small this year. There's a lot of stuff like for nursing that Mary is not going to submit because we've got the construction project, and a lot of that stuff would be included in that. So all of this came in actually where I kind of thought it would. Do you have questions on specific items on there?
No, I didn't. She might do it. Phone system. I can't remember if it was on last year's or that's been a while we've been talking about it.
We've been talking about it, but that one was just added to the budget this year because we've actually gotten serious about looking at that right now. The one for radiology, that is one that he needs to get done. If his system were to go down, that shuts down radiology pretty significantly. So that one definitely had to go on the list this year.
What exactly is an ER x-ray room?
That's his main room, and it has to do with the software. He explained all of this to me. It's upgrading everything so that it's digital, and what he has now, if it were to go down, then it shuts the whole system down. So this is upgrading everything so that it doesn't do that, because I think it's outdated enough that he can't even get it fixed if it were to go down, is the problem.
Maybe I think it's electronic residency or something like that.
It's a D.
Diagnostic.
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. More questions on this?
I mean, typically our capital expenditures have been about $500,000 a year. That was sort of what we were allowing or expecting. So this is certainly in line with that for now, anyway.
Yes. The last one I have is just going over the
Yes, the price increase for the nursing home. I did get current prices of places surrounding us, and then I just have the different price increases listed here. The proposed is written as well. We're so pleased that you all.
Sure.
The copies are in the email. Do not.
It's a different level of care, so it's.
We would need a motion to make that price increase at Amy Holt position.
Make a motion to make the price increase at $312 a day official for the new position.
It's been moved and seconded to increase prices to $312 a day at Amy Holt. Any further discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Moved and seconded to request three mills. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
That also passes. Well, I think the meeting's been a lot less contentious since we had the training to start.
Yep. Good thing we did that, huh?
Can we get on that iPhone team?
I think you had an account set up.
I thought
you and Brenda both did.
I'm on it.
You're on it. I just
wanted
to look at it. Yeah. I mean, that was good information.
Well, it's not too painful.
To know what I do.
They had, I think they, when I first heard of them, they had 150 classes, and they're adding one on average one a week right now.
And are they just important?
Okay, so I'll leave
it. It's set up. There is some leadership type topics on there, but it is set up for like board education. So.
Yes, I was going to mention that. I didn't get it on the agenda again, but I do have it in the past.
All right. A motion for what? Oh. Well, I don't know if I can talk about myself being reappointed, but.
Okay. You're not up yet anyway. You're still processing.
Yeah.
The only one I have is Dr. Gonda right now.
All right. So we can entertain a motion to reappoint Dr. Gonda, radiologist.
So moved.
Second. That's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye. That approval is approved. Okay, now I think we're ready for financial performance.
Okay. Not a lot for this one. So April gross patient revenue was at $2.5 million. We were just under budget by $138,000. Deductions still higher than anticipated, but a little bit better than what's been seen in the last few months. Expenses were under budget by $88,000, and for the month we had a $32,000 gain. Year to date, gross patient revenue is still higher than budget by $1.6 million. Deductions, same story with those. They're just falling in line with where we're at with revenue. Expenses, year to date, we are under budget by $167,000, and we are looking at $498,000 for the year. There wasn't a lot that was significant in the month of April, so I don't know how much to call out. I think I basically just started budget as soon as I finished that. So, looking at staff, again, I don't have anything significant to really call out on here unless you guys have questions about any of them.
Oh, we got more scopes, but not as many operating room procedures, which is like quite a margin.
Yes.
But that doesn't really split out what's ortho or general surgery or other visiting specialists. It's kind of everything.
Are any other visiting specialists doing surgeries yet?
So Black Hills Ortho is starting to get some scheduled. I don't think they've actually had a surgery yet, but they had a handful that they were working on getting scheduled here. And then Sheridan Ortho has done more, and
Trojan does a lot.
Trojan does quite a bit, and
Varner
just did her first one, yeah. And since before COVID. So.
Yeah.
That was, we had a call, Miranda joined me on a call with, there's the head medical director for Medicaid was trying to figure out what is causing OB programs in the state to close down, and so had a call with a bunch of the, I think, I don't know, there was 10 hospitals or something like that that participated, and I don't know, it'll be interesting to see what he gets out of the survey, because the questions were pretty straightforward, and I don't know if there'll be a whole lot of insight gained from it. But one of the things that he had brought up in that conversation is one of the facilities that were closing down, OB talked about the cost of keeping their operating room up and operational. And so I'm assuming they weren't doing a lot of other procedures. So I think the ability for us to continue to grow and make investments into our surgery and make that a viable ongoing operation versus having that, it can't just sustain OB. It's too expensive to just sustain OB. So continuing to work on getting more caseload through our emergency room, whether it's through our general surgeon or bringing others in, I think is really important that we continue to see what we can do in that realm. So.
That's 9 months of data, and that's about 3 cases a week, including C-sections and visiting specialists, which is pretty low volume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's definitely room for us to grow in what we're doing there.
Last one is just the summary. And again, just quickly looking at AR numbers. Hospital decreased, clinic increased. Those numbers just continue to go back and forth. And then I did pull bank balances as of today. Here's where we were for April. Biggest change as far as looking at today's balances is the net revenue. It's in these numbers I make. It's already out.
So we just spent $300,000 on construction materials.
Yeah.
With ongoing invoices.
Altogether, that's not a bad looking cash position, given we're a construction project. Mm-hmm. Checks already.
Yeah, we just looked at it today. We're $2.3 million so far we spent on construction. Mm-hmm. So if, to have that cash position and be this far in, I think it's a really good spot to be in.
So where are we in terms of decision-making about borrowing for the remainder of construction? That's sort of a hard decision, isn't it?
So we've been trying to get our audit cleaned up. With the transition to a new audit firm, there was a couple of things that were caught in error on how our previous audit was stated when you guys approved it. And we're still working on getting, we have an updated draft as of yesterday afternoon that we're waiting for the new firm to give like the final seal of approval. So I have financing packets waiting to go to banks as soon as we get accurate financial statements to share. So with the intent, so probably that July meeting is kind of the deadline I'm going to give. I'm hoping to get submittals back from banks that week before and then approval from you guys in July. So I guess we can look at all of that kind of in unison, which I guess makes some sense.
Well, any other questions for Becky or Luke regarding financial performance or money issues in general? We've completed our regular board meeting agenda. We do have an executive item on the docket.